May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. He had gotten into law because he thought it would be both prestigious and easy. All he had to do was pull a few strings. He had the right family connections. He didn't have to do much to get the gig sitting on the bench, passing judgment over lesser mortals. Even so, he learned quickly that being a judge could be a trying experience. But that was only if one cared very much about the outcome of the case, or the pathetic people that came to plead their cases, or the laws that the Lord had governed them by. Well, that just was not his problem. He didn't care too much. He had never been the religious sort. He had never cared much for what the law said. What mattered was what he said. What mattered was his ruling. He had never been the sappy sort either. Sure, the orphan stole in desperation and society should have been kinder to her. Or the poor farmer had been cheated, or the younger son was deprived of his inheritance, yada, 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 yada. People should just mind their manners and suffer in silence and let everybody else get on with their lives. The rulings he passed were swift and harsh, and he never gave them another thought. He had gotten into law because he thought it would be both prestigious and easy. And it was. Until now. Until now, with this pesky widow. Had he tried her case before? He couldn't remember. What was she whining about? He didn't know. He didn't care. And for a while, that was enough. He just ignored her when she showed up at court. Widows had no legal recourse to do much of anything. Not that that mattered to him. He just thought she was annoying, old, ugly. She didn't have a husband or a son to speak for her properly. So who cares, lady? Can it? Get over it. Get out of my way. Shut your trap. That worked for a while, but she kept showing up. She was there in the morning, shaking her fist, "Grant me justice!" She was there when he took his lengthy lunch, "Grant me justice!" She was there when he left for home in the evening, "Grant me justice!" Sometimes she even followed him on the way home, chanting, "Grant me justice! Grant me justice! Grant me justice!" And when he laid down at night, she was still there in his dreams, "Grant me justice!" Ignoring her didn't work. Insulting her didn't work. Threatening her didn't work. One day, when she once again met him right outside, first thing in the morning, he just lost it. He snapped. He did not care about this woman. He did not even know what case she was referring to, whether she was in the right or the wrong. People would say he was an awful judge, a bad judge, a pushover. But he just didn't care anymore. He just had to make her stop. "All right," he bellowed, "enough. Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, just because you keep bothering me, I will grant you your justice." The little note from the author at our story's start today tells readers that Jesus crafts this parable to encourage his followers to pray always and not to lose heart. Now, the one who doesn't lose heart in the story is the widow, right? If she doesn't need to lose heart in the face of this unjust, callous judge that has no fear of God and no respect for anyone, well, then how much more can we, God's beloved children, not lose heart in the face of our loving and merciful God? Because God is nothing like this unjust judge. Right? Right? Well, Jesus is very specific in his parables. I wonder if there might be more to it than that. More to it than just, well, if this crappy judge eventually does the just thing, how much more so will God do the just thing? What if God is like this unjust judge? The judge arrives at his verdict not because of the evidence set before him or because of the laws that govern him. The judge arrives at his verdict because he's tired of being bothered. He is willing to look like a bad judge if only he can get this crazy old widow off his back. God, too, arrives at verdicts not because of the evidence or because of the laws that govern us. God arrives at verdicts because maybe God is also tired of being bothered. Maybe God is willing to look like a bad God to get the world's problems off of God's back. I mean, come on. Wouldn't a real divine power, wouldn't a real God require obedience to God's will? Wouldn't a real God force people to be good and loving to one another? Wouldn't a real God stop all the tragedies of this world, the violence, the war, the illness, the natural disasters? Wouldn't a real God answer the prayers of faithful followers in a measurable sort of way? But the God that we talk about here at church, the God that Scripture often talks about, doesn't force reform, doesn't require good deeds, doesn't make us come to church or give our offering. While we are still screwing up, still being selfish, trying to look good, trying to do what we think we're supposed to do, working hard for the wrong motivations, spending our resources not on our neighbor's needs or God's desires, but on our own wants, while we're doing all of this, God is already loving us, forgiving us, chasing us down. And more than that, as Paul writes in Romans 5, or as we often say in our rite of confession and forgiveness, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God doesn't care about the evidence. As biblical scholar Robert Farrar Capon wrote, the truth is that, listen to this one, God no longer cares a fig for their sacred guilt or their precious list of good deeds, responsible outlooks, and earnest intentions. God has abolished all those oppressive godly requirements in order that he might grant them free acceptance by his death on the cross. Think about that. God doesn't care about our holy guilt when we do something wrong. God doesn't care about the list of good deeds a mile long. God doesn't care about our responsible outlooks or even our best intentions. God's given all that up to get the problems of the world off our backs. God chooses death over relying on all of that. The judge isn't very fair. And perhaps God isn't very fair either. We don't always talk about that at church because it kind of seems like it put us out of business, right? Like it kind of seems like we're telling people, don't worry, you don't need to be good, you don't need to come to church. How about a stewardship campaign, Kate, where we tell people, you don't need to give your money to the church? You don't need to try to be better. You don't need to support the church. We worship an unfair God. How about that for a marketing campaign? It's like A woman who searches diligently for a coin of very little worth searches for that coin frantically. Even the coin doesn't know that it's lost. It's like a shepherd who thinks that one mangy old sheep has infinite value. It's like a father who doesn't even let his wayward son get the apology out of his mouth before he's showering him with presents. It's like a judge that cares nothing for the law, but only for his own good. A God that searches for the lost, even when they don't know they're lost. A God that believes each and every last one has infinite value. A God that never lets us utter a full confession before we are forgiven. A God that cares nothing for the good we do or don't do or mean to do, because the only good that needed to be done has already been done by God. A God that is a little unfair or might seem a little crazy, because God showers us with goodness and mercy and love, even though we might never turn and acknowledge that goodness. Maybe that is not such a bad thing for the church to be selling after all. Jesus tells this parable to his followers to encourage them to pray always and not lose heart. Because we feel better equipped to plead our case if the verdict is already in. Because we feel better prepared to be unjust, unfair, to be merciful to others when we have already shown mercy. We feel better equipped to give of ourselves, our resources, our finances, our time, when we understand that all those things have been already given to us freely, no strings attached, not because of anything we've done, but because of who God is. And today, in this parable at least, God is somewhat like that unjust judge. Parables are a blessing because they're a mystery too. And this is one we might continue to unravel together for many years to come. Thanks be to God. Amen.